The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does love son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Disruption. That's what Jesus does in our lives. He disrupts them. But this is in a great tradition. That's the same thing that Jeremiah was complaining about God having done to him hundreds of years before Jesus was born. "Oh Lord," he said, "you have enticed me and I was enticed. You have overpowered me and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me." He feels foolish before his friends because of his call to be righteous and his commitment to the needy. This is the tradition of the person of faith. And what an appropriate taste of scripture today as we live through the greatest disruption our lives have ever experienced, I think, having to cope with the novel coronavirus. It's such a disruption because we don't know how this virus behaves. In short, because it's novel. It's new, and our elected officials didn't want to take it seriously at first. So we fell into the vortex of tens of thousands of people becoming ill all at once. But we came around, didn't we? Slowly. We got control of ourselves, if not of the virus, and gradually the number of cases has begun to fall, at least here in New York. When we began to do the things that would protect the vulnerable in our society, when we began to care for others. But I'm not sure that everyone is on the same page on this. In the states that opened up for business more quickly, the number of cases has been increasing, in some instances doubling. But we finally have reached the point where we have the supplies and the personnel to carry out the process that the doctors, the physicians, have promoted for keeping track of the increase of infection, a high rate of testing, and then tracking and tracing people who were exposed to others who are newly positive, so that they can be isolated and taken out of the general population to stop the spread. But yesterday, I learned that our president is calling for a stop to testing because it's making clear just how insidiously this virus moves and grows. It seems that he doesn't want to know the truth because it's unpleasant, like the so-called inconvenient truth of climate change. This is the method of pandemic control that we might call the proverbial ostrich approach of covering one's head so as not to unlearn the unpleasant truth. If we don't test people, we can pretend that they aren't sick, even though they're developing symptoms, even though they're increasingly going to hospitals, even though they're increasingly being put on ventilators, even though they're increasingly dying. But if we haven't tested all the people who have died or who will have died, we won't know for sure that they had COVID-19. And we can say that they didn't die from the pandemic. So the numbers will stay low. More ostrich thinking. Disruption and being unsettled. What is this in our gospel reading for today about Jesus bringing a sword to the earth? Isn't he the Prince of Peace? Yes, but he knows that his call to peace will result in people being violent. They, or we, just can't seem to stop beating and killing and maiming one another. We've been living through that experience again and again too, especially with the murders of so many Black and brown men and women continuing this spring. Jeremiah comes into life. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. But it seems that there is a call to make a change in our society, to bring an end at last, please God, to the beating and the killing and the maiming under the banner of Black Lives Matter, by taking away from the police some of the social responses that require care and understanding of a different sort, giving them to people who are trained in social work and clinical care. I pray that the openness to speaking the truth about racism that we seem finally to be experiencing will make a difference. Jesus tells us, nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. It has long been the case that we must speak truth to power, and the former whispers are now shouts. Now Jesus knows that when he calls people to follow him, to be faithful first and foremost to God, it will cause people to decide between him and their families. And when his followers choose him, that sword that he brings may come down in the followers' families and cut them apart from their most intimate relationships. Can the breaks be repaired? Of course they can, through the love that Jesus teaches us. But it's a hard life being a disciple, and it takes a lot of work. Over and over again, day after day. And Jesus also says that we should remember that when we follow the life of the way as children of God's family, God is intimately and minutely aware of what's happening to us because God loves us. Jesus is in on this too. Stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven, he says. So this is our mission. But I wonder, is it Mission Impossible, like that old TV show? Well, even if it seems to be impossible, The thing to remember about the impossible missions that Mr. Phelps was sent on is that they always were possible in the end. He and his team accomplished them all. So that's how it is with us too, Jesus' team. There may be disruptions in our plans, but ultimately life turns out to be an exciting adventure. How could it not be? Remember what Paul said to the Romans? That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's what we're all about here today. Although we may have been sprinkled with water rather than immersed when we were baptized, it's the same principle. Our baptismal sponsors and parents made vows on our behalf that they would teach us about our faith and see that we came to worship. When they did that, each of us was reborn in Christ as a member of God's family, as Jesus' brother or sister. Our sponsors and parents did their jobs, whether recently or many, many years ago. And now we accept for ourselves the responsibility to be Christians. In fact, we accept that responsibility every day, over and over and over again. Will it always be as easy as saying, I will and I ask God to help and guide me, as we said when we were confirmed, affirming our baptismal vows? No, we all know that it's not always that easy. And sometimes we forget to ask God to help and guide us. That makes it even harder to be faithful. And sometimes, even when we remember to ask for the help, we ignore it. We go on and follow our own advice. Sometimes we think that we know better than God how to live as Christians. And we know what happens then. But even then, even if we go off on our own way, Jesus' death on our behalf comes into play again and again and again. When we repent, God says, come back. I'm waiting for you. Come back to the family. A good thing to remember on Father's Day. And each one of us in the family has had that experience. And we undoubtedly will have it again. So we live lives that are disrupted by Jesus when he tells us to drop what we're doing and go help someone who is vulnerable and in need of our assistance. That's our call. That's our vocation. That is our life. That's our purpose. That's Christian love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.